Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Let's learn Parshas Vayigash. Okay, so in the middle of this Parsha, so of course Yosef reveals himself to his brothers, and then he sends them back home to retrieve his father and move everybody and all their things back down to Eretz Mitzrayim. So before we get to the Medrash that we're going to tackle, we need a little bit of background to the Medrash. And that all started from this week's Parsha, the conversation that Paro has with Yosef in instructing him to send his parents, to send for his father. That begins at the top of the page. Vatatsu Vesu, this is Paro talking. You are now commanded, Zosasu, this is what you should tell the brothers to do. Kulachem Eretz Mitzrayim Agalos, Letapchem Ulinashechem. He sends wagons back to Eretz Canaan to gather up the small children and the wives. Unasasa, Mesavichem, Uvasam, and take your father back. Come here. Ve'einchem al tachos al klechem. Don't feel bad about the things you're going to leave behind in Canaan. Kitov, kol, Eretz Mitzrayim, lech, everything. It's good. Just come. Bring all your stuff. Bring your family. Bring your wives. Bring your children. It's going to be good here. Ve'yasuchem b'nei Yisrael. And they take Paro's advice. They do it. And then Yosef starts giving out things. Va'yitein lehem Yosef agolos al pi Paro. So he gave them wagons. That was according to Paro commanded him. Paro said, send wagons. Yosef sends wagons. Va'yitein lehem tzeidel l'derech. And then he added, tzeidel l'derech, the source of this our famous phrase, a little bit of nash for the road, comes right, straight out of the Torah. Did Paro command him? No. Where did he get that from? I don't know. Seems pretty logical, right? Good Jewish boy. Sure, their mothers would have wanted them to have had a lot of food for the way, so they sent them with some food. L'chulam nasan l'ish chalifos smalos. And then to each one he gave a change of clothing. And then to Binyamin he gave 300 gold coins and 5 changes of clothing. And then to his father he sent the 10 chamorim, filled 10 donkeys filled with tuv Mitzrayim, all sorts of goodies from Mitzrayim, and eser asonos, and 10 other donkeys filled with all sorts of treats. So the pasuk for tonight is pasuk Chaf Beis, the highlighted pasuk. He gave each one of the brothers a change of clothing. Two major problems that we would have with this pasuk. Major problem number one would be
wearing the clothes of
Mitzrayim. Well, I ask it just straight. Like,
what was wrong with
that? Well, yeah, well, huh? Change of clothing? Like a strange thing to add in over here as he's sending everybody home. Everybody needs a change of clothing. Now, on a pashut level, we can answer that if you go back over the story, when they ran into trouble, they ripped their clothing. Part of the story when they were thrown in, when Shimon shut into jail and all that was going to be, they ripped their garments, like, what's going to be? So he gave them a change of clothing. We could read the Chumash Pasha that way. But still, that the Torah tells us this as part of the send-off. Everybody gets a change of clothing. Interesting. Of note. And there's another major problem here.
Why more for Binyamin after the favoritism?
Yeah, exactly. We just went through, how did this whole story start? We're at the end of the story. Yosef's in Mitzrayim. He reveals himself. It's all great now. Everybody's hugging. It's great. But how did it start?
Color code.
It started with the Ketonis Pasim. It started with the favoritism. The Yisrael Ohav as Yosef Mikol Banov. Yaakov loved Yosef more than all of his children. Kiven Zekunim Hulo Ve'asalo Ketonis Pasim. He gave him an extra garment of clothing. And now Yosef is going to turn around at the end of the story and give to his brother Binyamin 5 sets of clothing in front of all of his brothers. It just screams, it is a problem. I would add to it, not just me, Chazal say specifically in sources 2 and 3, the ketones pasim, the coat that Yaakov gave him, was very significant. The Medrash says in source number 2, Rabbi Nechemiah Omar shekol hilchos shemasru shem ve'ever liyakov masrolo. It was representative of this coat, not just a physical garment. It represented all of the Torah that Yaakov had learned in the yeshiva of shem ve'ever. And if you recall, we discussed this before. When did Yaakov spend 14 years in the yeshiva of shem ve'ever? On his way to Lavan. On his way, when he left his father's house before going to Lavan, He prepared himself 14 years, and that's the Torah that he taught to Yosef. Now, this is before Yosef is sold. This is before Yosef goes anywhere. This is still in his father's house. Yaakov gives over that Torah to Yosef, represented somehow by this coat. In the words of the coat being transferred, Chazal see a special Torah. But the Gemara in Shabbos says that this is a problem that Yosef is treated this way. Source number three, the Olam al Yishan Adam Bonov Bein Habonim. A person should never treat one child different than all of his other children. Should Bishvil Mishkol Shnei Sloyim Milos. Two little coins, nothing, the value of a coat, garnished. But for that, Shenasan Yaakov LiYosef Yosef Mishar Bonov, because of that one little thing that he did give, Niskanu Bo Achiv and Nisgalgil Hadavar. They became jealous, and all of the circumstances of events came. V'yardu avoseinu l'mitzrayim. How did we get down to Mitzrayim? The jealousy of this one little coach.
But this is not his children; these are his brothers.
Correct, but
so,
yeah,
it's not quite the same thing.
Okay,
and they have the same mother.
Correct, but if 100%, if Yaakov can treat a son differently. That's the Chazal say is the cause of all of this mess. And then Yosef at the end would favor that brother, the same brother, that he was the favorite because of that mother. Hello, Duffer. That's an interesting thing that at the end of the story he would specifically do so with a coat, specifically. And he gives everybody a coat, and Binyamin should get five. So what's the deal with the coats? And what's the deal with him specifically giving more to Binyamin? Yeah.
Well, here you say about that one child shouldn't be treated differently than others, but then you're supposed to give the firstborn a double portion.
That's right.
So that's not treating them the same.
No, that's correct.
Get a double portion.
Yeah, no, that's so. After he dies also. I mean, that's after
not a lifetime of treating them that way.
To do it. It's not he's deciding.
Correct.
About,
that's not that right. He's not doing that. That's as you then.
But the Diva Ra, wasn't that before the Exodus passing? Or was it after?
Where Yosef spoke on him? That was... I think that's after. I think so. But I'm not sure. We can look that up. Grab a phone if we can look that up. Okay, one other just parenthetical comment on this. When Klal Yisrael leaves Mitzrayim, when they leave Mitzrayim with great wealth, what do they take with them? What specific items does Klal Yisrael take with him out of Mitzrayim?
Yosef's bones.
Okay. Clothes. Most people would answer, very good.
Money.
Gold and silver. Money. They took great wealth. If you flip to the back side of your page, source number 10. Vayisoha omes betseko terem yichmatz. The Jewish people grabbed the dough before it became chomitz misha'ar rosom on their shoulders. Tsuros besimlosom al shechmam. Gathered together on their shoulders. It gathered in their clothing on top of their shoulders. Uvnei Yisrael asu kidvar Moshe. Vayishalumi mitzrayim klei chesef. They asked from Mitzrayim silver, uchlezav, and gold, usmalos, clothing.
That was one of the things they didn't change, right? Right.
They didn't change their clothing, but they grabbed clothing out of Mitzrayim. An interesting thing. Rashi says, usmalos, af hein hayu chashuvos lahen min hakesef umin hazahav. And the clothing was more important to them than the gold and the silver. Hamu'uchar b'pasuk, chashuv, because it was listed later in the pasuk, and everything achron, achron, chaviv. So little known fact, that when the Jewish people left Mitzrayim, not only did they leave with gold and silver, they left with clothing. And that was the most important thing to them. Clothing. So when the Jews leave Mitzrayim the first time to go gather Yaakov, they take with them new clothing. Yosef favors his brother Binyamin and gives him five sets of clothing. Yaakov favors Yosef in last week's parasha by giving him clothing. And when the Jews leave Mitzrayim, they grab not just the gold and the silver, they grab clothing.
Their clothing?
No, Egyptian clothing.
They went to
borrow from their neighbors, klechasav u'chlezav u'smalos. And the most choshev to them?
They had the kesef and the zahav already from Makos Kosha.
No, they didn't take this, it.
No, this is, yeah, that, they that's saw. When they saw. And now this is the pasuk that's describing.
They didn't take it at that time. They just saw and then went over to that.
Yeah, Rav Hirsch has a whole beautiful piece on that, that the godless of the Jewish people was from Choshech, because they were in their houses, feeding them, taking care of them. They couldn't move. And then they came back, 2 weeks later, and said, "Can I borrow something? You were in my house. You could have taken whatever you wanted." They vayishalu only later they came to borrow, but they took gold, silver, and clothing.
But they didn't wear the clothing.
They were given.
How do you know? What did they do with it? I don't know what they did with it. I'll leave that as a question. I don't know what they did with it. All I'm saying is the Torah says, and it's right there. Rashi says it was actually the most important thing to them when they left. They didn't just take gold and silver. I would have just said gold and silver. Okay, everybody knows they took gold and silver. They took gold, silver, and clothing.
Isn't that one thing?
That's
right. They didn't take upon themselves from Yisrael with their names.
That's right. But they took. But they. So what's the pshat? You're asking good kashas. They didn't change their clothing. What are they taking clothing for?
It started with Yaakov because he had the clothing on that led to the deception that led to all of this going on. But it was a change of status. To him, the clothing was a change of status. And all along, when he's taken out of jail, you know, Yosef is given different clothing. It means that you're a different status. So the clothing could have been a robe to signify that they were from Paro's entourage or whatever.
Could be. Could it be. Okay, but that leaves us with his kashas. What's with the clothing? What's with specifically to Binyamin giving five additional elements of clothing? So far, so good. Now we can get to the Medrash. That's going to be our problem that we're going to have to address. Now that we have all the background. Medrash, it's really Gemara, in the box. Gemara Megillah says as follows. L'chulam nasan l'ish chalifos malos l'vinyamin nasan chamesh chalifos. Quotes a pasuk we've been addressing. Each brother got a change of clothing and Binyamin got five. Gemara asks the kasha that you all asked. Efshar davar shenitztayer bo oso tzadik yikashel bo. Is it possible the matter that this tzadik Yosef was so pained by, meaning his favoritism, that now Yikashilbo, he himself is going to stumble on the same matter? It's impossible that, since the Gemara quotes that you shouldn't show favoritism, how can it be? Ella, the Gemara says in the bold, what's the pshat that he gave all of these extra clothing to Binyamin? Remez Ramazlo, he gave him a hint. She'osid ben latzeis mimenu. There's one day going to be a child, a son from Binyamin. She'yetzei milifnei hamelech b'chamisha levushe malchus. There's going to be a descendant of Binyamin who's going to leave a palace wearing five royal garments. She'ne'mar u'Mordechai yotza bilvush malchus t'cheles v'chor. Mordechai left at the end of the Purim story. Hanukkah's over, so now we're right into Purim. Mordechai left bilvush malchus t'cheles. He left with these royal garments of tcheles, of turquoise and white, and a teres, a hov gedolon, a beautiful golden crown, the tachrich butzvar gamon, and a robe of linen and purple, the ha'ir shushan tzahalav asamecha. So since Mordechai was going to leave with five garments from the palace of Achashverosh at the end of the Purim story, which is going to happen, I don't know, 1,000 years later, so therefore, Yosef had to give to Binyamin five garments of clothing. And answers all of our questions, right? That makes sense. Now we understand. Of course, the brothers are saying to themselves that Binyamin should get all of these extra garments because there's going to be a descendant of Binyamin, Mordechai, who's going to leave with... And if I would have asked anybody, how many garments did Mordechai leave the palace with? Who cares? How many garments? What difference does it make? He got into the palace, he left, he was royalty. Gevaldik, that's all we need to know. No, says the Gemara. Nope. There were five things listed. Binyamin had to, Yosef needed to be merames to that by giving Binyamin five extra garments.
So then why not give Levi, who's going to have Kohanim, who wears
different garments? Yeah, we can ask
garments.
A lots of questions. Yeah. Correct. In other words, we haven't answered the question. Exactly. Okay, so that's our medrash for tonight. So that's our Gemara. So we have this this focus on clothing, lots of focuses on clothing, specifically here, Yosef giving Binyamin five, and the Gemara, to answer this question, in an attempt to answer this, says something which really just raises a whole lot of other questions and says, yeah, of course that made sense, because he's trying to hint at the Purim story of the garments that Mordechai is going to leave the palace, and Mordechai is a descendant of Binyamin, Ishimini. Gevalt. Okay, so far so good? All right, let's learn. Let's learn. So, as is often the case in anything to do with Torah, you always got to go back to the origins. This first time you come across something to understand the nature of what something is. So clothing here plays a very important role. Where is our first element of clothing that we find?
Adam and Chava.
Correct. So the Torah says as follows in source number 5. Torah is, Hashem is meting out all of the punishments from the episode with the Nachash and the eating of the forbidden fruits. So just to give you the context, Ulo Adam Amar, and then the punishment to Adam, the third of the punishments that was given. First he speaks to the Nachash, then he speaks to Chava, and then Hashem speaks to Adam. Ki shamata l'kol ishtecha, because you listened to the voice of your wife and you ate from the tree, therefore the ground will be cursed because of you. You're going to have thorns. It's going to be difficult to by the sweat of your brow, etc., etc. Pasuk Chaf, Adam calls his wife Chava, kihi aisa eim kol chai. And then following all of this, Vayas Hashem Elokim lo Adam lo ishto kosnos or vayal bishem. It's at this point that Hashem makes for Adam and for Chava these leather garments, I guess would be its most literal translation, something of skins, and he clothes them. So we find for the first time this idea of clothing following the sin of Adam and Chava, whereas the Torah itself said they noticed they were naked. They had not been aware of that fact prior. Post-eating of the fruit, they are aware of their nakedness, and they cover themselves up. So this is not really the first clothing. The first clothing is a fig leaf that the Adam and Chava make for themselves. But this is the first actual manufactured clothing. Something that was not just a raw product used to cover their nakedness. This is clothing. This does something more than just... The first thing that Adam and Chava make is functional. We're embarrassed. We don't have any clothing, so we took a natural product, a raw leaf, and covered ourselves. But here we have Hashem making actual clothing. More than just function, it actually is something. It's clothing, and He clothes them. The Medrash traces this garment. The Medrash says, Ksonis Pasim, going back to the garment that Yaakov gives to his son Yosef, Haksonis She'asa Kadosh Baruch Hu La'Adam Ula Ozra. What was this garment that Yaakov gave to Yosef? If this was the garment that we can trace all the way back to the Ribbono Shel Olam himself making for Adam and Chava, this is the garment that Yaakov gives to Yosef. Where did he get that from, says the Medrash? He shalakha Esav min Nimrod. Esav had taken this from Nimrod. Vehi Nimrod had gotten it from the early days, Adam Chava, somewhere in the early days, Nimrod got a hold of this garment. Esav conquers Nimrod, he takes the garments. Vehi bigde Esav hachamudos. When Rivka says to her son Yaakov, you need to go get for me Esav's special clothing that I have in my home, and I'm going to dress you in Esav's clothing, the clothing that Yaakov stole from Esav with his mother's permission to go steal the blessing and then run to Lavan, that was this garment. Shelovash Yaakov b'shasa bracha. So that when Yaakov steals the bracha from Esav, he's wearing Esav's clothing that he had taken from Nimrod, who he had taken from Adam and Chava, and then Yaakov hands off that clothing several years later to his son Yosef. Now, we have a medrash like this. This is one of those classics, like you say, literally or non-literally, doesn't matter. What Chazal are saying to us is, there is a yesod, there is an idea of the clothing that the Ribbono Shel Olam made for Adam and Chava, that somehow traces itself through different historical points. Literally, it could be the same exact clothing. If not, wouldn't make that much of a difference. That is transmitted. Yaakov takes those clothing, the big dechamudos from Esav, and he steals the blessing wearing those clothing, and then gives that to Yosef. And then we find Yosef giving clothing, not the Chazal don't say the same clothing, Yosef then giving clothing that he's received clothing from Yaakov, and now he gives clothing to all of his brothers, and five garments to Binyamin, to signify that there's going to be a character in Mordechai,
who's... this is a stolen garment throughout.
Well, it was stolen, right, it was stolen by Nimrod and Esav. It was on the, if you'll excuse the cultural reference, on the dark side for a small period of time, and then it ends up back on the side.
Stole it just as well.
Correct, you know, that's exactly right.
Stealing something that you've stolen is...
That's exactly right. Okay, so far so good. Let's take it one more step. Source number 7. On this garment, Rashi quotes a medrash that it signified something specific. Pasim is made up of 4 letters. Pesam chiyun mem al shem tsoro shigiyuhu. Why did Yaakov give Yosef this ketonis pasim? What did he see in Yosef that he needed this garment more than all the other brothers? He was going to have tsaros. What were the tsaros that Yosef was going to have? Pei is for Potiphar, the Samach for the Sochrim, the Yud for the Yishmaelim, and the Mem for the Midyanim, all the characters involved in Yosef's sale. Whether it was in the actual taking him out of the pit, the sale, the bringing down to Mitzrayim, the person whom he was sold to.
He wouldn't have had that if it wasn't for the sale and all that.
Correct.
Yeah, but then he went to the Torah that he needed.
So that the garment signifies something specific. It signifies the tsaros, the problems that Yosef is going to have. Which specific... Yosef has got a lot of problems in life. Which specific problems? His journey down to Mitzrayim. In his journey down, which has 4 components, the Midyanim, the Sochrim, the Ishmaelim, those who are involved in the sale, and then Potiphar, who he actually ends up landing with. That episode of Yosef's life is embodied by the word pasim, and to that Yaakov gives Yosef this ketonis. You're going to need this. Now obviously Yaakov didn't know he was going to be sold, and he wouldn't have mourned, he wouldn't have loved. But that this is part of this idea that this is what's going to, this Yosef is, these episodes that are going to happen in Yosef's life require preparation, require a garment, this ketonis pasim.
Did they ever tell Yaakov exactly what they did?
Unclear if they ever afterwards did. I do not know.
But if he hadn't been given this garment, he might not have been in the trouble to begin with his brothers.
Okay, let's talk about clothing for a second. Let's talk about clothing. Not in the way that you want to talk about clothing. I'm not interested in it. Chazal used the idea, the Sifrei, the Svarim HaKadoshim, clothing in a specific way, which the Rosh Hashiva of Goldbach used to explain as follows. Let's take an example. Clothing, in its most simple form, cover the body, in its most simple form. In life, we have dvarim ruchnim and dvarim gashmim. We have that which is spiritual at its core, that which is its essence, and then things which cover them up. In its most basic, yet very deep concept, in the human being, as an example, this is not exactly clothing, but as an example, when I look at all of you and you look at each other and you look at me, what you see is something very physical. You see the physical body. And each one of us have the components of our physical body, our facial features, our size, our height. It's physical, it's real, it's in front of us, and that's what you see. But we all know that that's really not the person. I'm not looking at the facial features and saying, I like this person or I don't like this person. It has nothing to do with their facial features. It has to do with the pnim, the inside. What is this person? What are their characteristics like? What are their personality like? How kind are they? How giving? Do they share the same interests? All of those things are not things that you can see. They're all the essence of what the person is, but we can't see spiritual essence in this world. It doesn't exist. There's no such thing. Can't touch spiritual essence. In the Olam HaAsid, in the future world, we'll be, and it'll be Kulo Ruchni, and we'll see things for what they are. But in this world that we live in, everything spiritual that has existence, that has life, that has meaning, is covered in something physical that gives it existence in this world. Because if it didn't, we wouldn't be able to deal with it in this world. And so in its simplest form, each one of us is an embodiment of that idea. We have our physical features, our physical body, but it's simply a cover. It's a levush. The Svarim always describe the body as a levush, as clothing that are covering and giving shape and form to the essence of what we are, which is our neshama. And everything in life has that element. Everything in this world has its essence, its core of Kedusha, of Ruchni, but it has to be covered in something that can be touched, that can be felt, that can exist in the world, that's simply forming as a levush, as a garment. And a garment represents that idea of the external manifestation in the world that we live in, an olam hazeh, a finite, very tangible world we live in, but that's hidden beneath the surface of the physical world we live is an olam haruchni that exists and that is as real as the physical world that we can touch. But there's a ruchni, a spiritual world that exists just like every human being. It is foolish to think all that it is just... That's just it. That's not just it. There's a whole world behind that. And the world has ruchniistic, spiritual elements that are covered. Clothing represents the outward manifestation of something intrinsically ruchni underneath. And our task in life is to see the world for what it is. Not to see the world for what it appears like, but to see the world for what it truly is. If you're interested in this concept, you can read Rabbi Akiva Tatz. World Mask is a book entirely dedicated to this concept, that the world is a mask, there's a physical manifestation that's taking place in the world that we see, but that you have to understand how to read the world and to see beneath that into what's really being contained within it. All of Gematria, Kabbalah, is all seeing the world beneath the surface. There is a surface, but the world is far deeper than that. And the surface is the levush, is the garment that covers it. Chazal described when a person dies, a tzaddik dies, the separation of the body from the soul is like a person taking off a garment at night. You just like I slip off a garment, it's not hard, because a soul that really uses the body appropriately has clothing that you can simply... A person who lives this world, attached to this world, connected to it, in love with the things of this world. So then you have this pira, this separation, this pulling apart the body from the soul because they've become intertwined. The body is not simply serving as a garment for the soul. The body has taken primary roles, and therefore when the body and soul are separated, there's this struggle that takes place. The language Chazal used to describe what the body should be, just this concept of levush. And levush is always being able to see. When it comes to how we actually use clothing as a demonstration of that, clothing have an element, clothing can change. We change clothing. We wear different clothing to manifest different stages in life, different tasks, different goals, different jobs that we have. And we wear clothing to demonstrate what it is that we're doing. You go into a hospital and you expect to see the doctor wearing certain clothing. If he weren't, the doctor would be coming out, would run in on call, some critical pulmonary specialist would run in shorts and a t-shirt because he was playing ball or racquetball and he got called in. So you just like, I don't know, I need a second opinion. It just looks weird. I need a doctor. If you're paying a whole lot of money for a lawyer, you expect him to be dressed in a certain way. He might be just as qualified if he's wearing jeans and a t-shirt, and would have every right to charge you the same amount, but we expect certain things from the clothing that we wear. I expect it. We expect a teacher to come in a certain way. Almost every profession that we have, there's a certain expectation as to how we dress. And we can change. We can wear certain clothes on the weekends, certain clothes during the weekdays, at night. We can flip in and out. But one thing that needs to stay constant, despite the fact that the external manifestation can change and always does, is that that external manifestation changes, but the internal reality has to remain the same. And that is what clothing, which is this outward manifestation, which announces to the world certain things about us, certain things that we want the world to know about us based... there's a reality. When you see someone, as soon as you see the way they're dressed, you've made a million assumptions. And we do that on purpose. We actually transmit those messages. Whether we like it or not, we do. And they're a reality. And we sometimes change the exact message that's being transmitted. That's, you can appreciate more than I why on whatever event you're going to, you might have to take out your entire wardrobe and then come to the conclusion, I have nothing to wear. So how is it possible? There are 14 outfits right now on, right in front of you. What you mean is, I have nothing to wear that's appropriate for this event that is the right level of dressed up, but not too dressed up. It has to... I have to be correct. I have to be transmitting something here, and I don't have the right thing. So I'm lost, because I can't wear that. Why not? Because that would transmit whatever. That I think this is too fancy, or I don't think this is fancy enough. Because there are messages that are being transmitted constantly by the clothing that we choose. And that outward manifestation, we understand, says something about who we are, and we want it to be right. We want it to be accurate, because there is a message that's being transmitted. And despite the fact that the clothing can always change, we can do whatever we want with it, the inner essence has to remain the same, despite the fact that we will find ourselves in numerous different circumstances, not just on a daily level, weekly, year, all the time. But the inner essence remains, even though the outward manifestation, which is clothing that, is always there. The Sfas Emes writes, this is on the top of your second sheets, in discussion of this topic, he phrases all of this in one line, ki ha-pnimius, the internal essence of a person, li-olam echad. It's always the same, it's always one. Aval ha-malbush, mischalef l'fi madregas ha-adam. The clothing that a person wears changes according to the madrega, the level of a person. As a person rises and raises himself up throughout life, he might wear different clothing as he changes positions, statures, stations in life. That kind of thing will often change. Where do we see the first essence of clothing? Where is the first manifestation of clothing, and then a theme that will maintain itself over and over and over again? Who gave the first clothing? At what point in history did Adam and Chava need clothing?
After they sinned.
And what happened after they sinned?
They were banished.
They went into Golus. In Gan Eden, they didn't need clothing. In Gan Eden, the outside, the inside, it's all one, it's all perfect, it's great. After the sin, something monumental is going to happen to them, and that is, you can't stay here. Now you're going to be outside the confines of the spiritual nurturing center called Gan Eden. You're going to be in Golus. And you know what you need in Golus? In Golus, you need clothing. In Golus, you're going to need to know that on the outside, there are going to be a lot of things that are going to be covering you, that are going to be transmitting certain things, that are going to change. But you on the inside, surrounded by this new environment, a hostile environment, that are going to require you to wear clothes, to fit in, to change, to be different, all the things that are going to go into that. But the pnimius, the inside, has to remain true and has to remain the same. And before they go into Golus, what they get are clothing. They already had functional clothing. They made on their own fig leaves. But that's not enough. That's enough to cover your embarrassment. Now that you head off into Golus, you're going to need clothing to be able to recognize there's an outside, there's an external, there's a manifestation to the world, there's an interaction with the world that I'm going to have to navigate and maintain, even though it's covering something that you can't see, which is going on inside. Follow that theme through every single step of where we see Chazal tracing clothing. Yaakov gives to Yosef the Ketonis Pasim. And what do Chazal say the Pasim represents? His going into Galus, his being sold down to Mitzrayim. Until this point, he's in his father's home. Everything is great. He's surrounded by his father, by his mother, the Torah of Yaakov and of Yitzchak. But he has a Pasim, a Ketonis Pasim, that's going to show what? Yaakov's going to give a gift to his son and say, you're going to have a lot of tzaras, my son. No, he's saying something much more than you're just going to have a lot of tzaras. He's saying, you're going into Galus. Sochrim, Yishmaelim, Ijanim, Potiphar, you're going to need this more than anyone else. When does Yaakov himself steal, so to speak, this coat? When he takes the bracha,
He's got to go to Lot.
And he teaches. So here's how everything's going to come together. Number one, the Ketonis Pasim that he gives to Yosef represents a specific Torah that he learned. In the coat, Chazal see, in the words of the giving of the coat, there was a specific Torah that he handed over. Which Torah? The Torah of Shem Ve'Aver that he learned on his way into Golis. I'm leaving my father's home to spend all these 20 years with Lavan. Before I do so, I need to learn a specific Torah to know how to handle the Golis. That's the Torah that he transmits to his son Yosef as he gives him this coat. Now, based on the Rosh Hashiva's Torah, which we've learned, when he takes this coat, what's he about to do? When Yaakov dresses himself in this coat, he's about to steal Esau's bracha. Which brings us back to the idea, this would be part four of this theme that we've been doing. When Yaakov takes that bracha, he's taking the avodas chutz. His primary avoda has been inside the base medrash. He's learning, he's davening, he's great. But Esau has opted out, and now Yaakov is going to take that. So what does he do when he says, I now need to deal with the world. I now need to go out there. I'm no longer in the confines of the Beis HaMedrash and the Beis HaKnesses and the Shul. What does he put on? Puts on Esav's clothing. The clothing of Adam and Chava who received when they were sent into Galus. That Esav had taken because his entire world is outside. And Yaakov now takes that clothing to steal this bracha, because he now needs, this is his new task. And which son does he give it to? Yes. He gives it to Yosef, his son of Rachel, who had flipped with Leah. Leah was going to take over the Avodas Pnim, and now Rachel is going to be the outside. She's going to have these two sons. Yosef is the one who's going down to Mitzrayim. Yosef is the one who needs the shoes, as we did from last week's. Not only does he get the shoes, but he gets a coat. Why does he need a coat? Why does he need clothing? Because clothing is, you're going to be on the external in an environment that is different than what's going on in the inside. But you have to be who? Yosef Haroa Esetzon Aviv, the same Yosef who shepherded his father's flock. You have to be the Yosef HaTzadik while in Mitzrayim. And you know what you need for that? You need to have an external garment that reminds you of the avoda of what clothing is. That on the outside, there's going to be change, there's going to be different circumstances, there's going to be an outward manifestation, but that what remains inside always has to stay as it is. So Yosef gets this clothing, he gets the Torah of Shem Ve'Aver, as he specifically is the one who heads off into Golis.
He actually left the clothing behind, because the brothers took it off of him, put blood on it.
That's right. In terms of the physical coat, he doesn't end up with the physical. Right. That is correct. That is correct. And now...
Well, you're talking about a spiritual coat.
But the concept. The concept. Now his brothers come down to Mitzrayim, and what's he saying to them now? You need to go home. If I were the brothers, we're taking Yosef back with us. We're going back home. And what does Yosef say? You are coming down here.
You're going into Galus.
And what does he give him?
A coat for Galus.
He gives each one chalifos malos. He gives each one a garment. Because everybody needs a garment. This was my avoda to pave the path, to blaze the pathway into Mitzrayim. I'm the first one in. Yosef's always the first one in, we've seen. He's the first one to conquer Eretz Yisrael. He's the first one always to handle that. But now that I'm here, now that I'm established, you're all coming. And you all need new tools if you're going to survive here in Mitzrayim. Because just like Adam and Chava, when they went into Golis, they got their clothing. And just like my father, Yaakov, our father, had to learn the Torah Shem Ve'Aver, he has to put on Esav's clothing before he takes that bracha. He gave it to me when I came down here. You're all coming. Everybody gets a set of clothing to be able to survive here in the Golis of Mitzrayim. Mordechai, what's the significance of the Purim story in the context of Golis? There are a lot of significances of Purim, but we'll just talk about one now. Purim is the first Golis post-Beis Mikdash. Klal Yisrael gets to Eretz Yisrael, they're there for some 600-700 years, the Beis Mikdash is destroyed. They go into Golis. They think, this is over. It's done. We can't survive. We're forgotten. We're lost. I'm mentioning in like 2 seconds what can be an entire... That one of the major themes of Purim is the first Golis out of Eretz Yisrael. And Yosef is Miramez to Binyamin. He gives him a hint. In Mitzrayim, as I'm going to send you into what will be the first Golus as the Jewish people in Egypt, you're going to have a descendant who's going to need clothing. I don't have any shot on the number 5, but Chazal clearly see something special in Mordechai, descended from Binyamin. While all the brothers are getting clothing to survive Mitzrayim, there's going to be another Golus that's going to happen, and there's going to be a leader of that Golus who's going to take us out of that, who's going to lead the survival of the Jewish people in Golus. When everybody's assimilating and integrating into Achashverosh and his party, there's going to be a Mordechai who's going to eventually leave the palace with clothing. It's important that he leaves with clothing. The Megillah tells us not just that he was in the palace and that we saved the Jewish people. You need to know, Mordechai leaves with clothing. Just like when Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, they left not only with gold and silver, but took clothes.
But they were going to Israel.
Correct, but just in the same way as the as significant of leaving of Mitzrayim, there is this element of the external, the clothing that is taking. One last comment from the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes writes, "Ubevadai hatoela sheba yedei hagolos hu tikun hamalbush." Sfas Emes writes that it's clear that the purpose of Golus is fixing, so to speak, this concept of the malbush. Clothing. That's why when they left Mitzrayim, they fixed it. They were successful in answering to your question. Like, as they leave, the gold, silver, and clothing. The Yosef who shenosel lehem zehaderech. Yosef is the one who taught us that. Eich yuchlu lehislabesh bechol eile levushim shonim. You can wear all different clothing on the outside. Kimo sheherolam. Yosef showed them. Shalohi kiruhu. They didn't even recognize him. He had such external differences on him. They could not recognize him. Kihu omei bitzidko. But he was still Yosef HaTzadik. That on the outside you're going to be in environments and circumstances you will be unrecognizable to your brothers. But who Yosef HaTzadik? Where is the koyach to do that? That's the koyach of the malbush, that there's something on the external which can transmit anything. But on the internal, it always has to remain the same. The Sfas Emes, which if we'll review this, of course, before Purim, says, and that's why we always get dressed up in costumes on Purim. That's his conclusion of this piece. Purim is all about changing the clothing. Purim is all about Golus, survival of that first Golus, and it's about you don't know what's going on the inside, but you have to know there is an inside, and therefore the way that we show that is, you're not even going to recognize me today. I'm going to get dressed up, you're going to wear a mask, you can't see me because you don't know what's there, but you need to know there's always the pnim, always remains a tzaddik, despite the fact that you can't even recognize me on the outside. That all stems from this whole approach of the remez that Yosef gives to his brother Binyamin already from Mitzrayim, that you need these clothing that I'm giving to all my brothers, that I received all the way back to Adam and Chava from the time that they were exiled from Gan Eden, because Golus requires the ability to adapt to new environments but remain true inside, and that's what clothing is all about.
So the only thing is,
yeah,
they did not necessarily wear the clothing of the Mitzrayim, because I thought that's something we as Jews kept our name.
They didn't. While the Jews were in Mitzrayim, they didn't wear the Egyptian clothing. That's Chazal says. But the Torah says that when they left, they took Egyptian clothing. Hello, devil. What does that mean? That's what you're bothered by.
Yeah, I can't.
So
I can't,
I'm saying that's what Chazal is saying, like. That's what the Sfas Emes is dashing. Like, that doesn't make any sense. They spent 210 years there, and they said Egyptian clothing.
It wasn't. Well,
kept them separate. Right. So they took it. So imagine. So the Jews are going through the Midbar, and all the pictures of them wearing this traditional Jewish garb. Not sure you know what they're wearing. They look like Egyptians.
How do you know that?
So hello, Davro, the Chazal, the Torah says they made a point of taking Egyptian clothing on their way out. So says the Sfas Emes, because they were misaking this whole idea of we maintained ourselves in a Golus environment, and that's represented by clothes, and they have to take the clothes with them. Whether they wore them or not, I don't know. But Rashi says it was the most chaviv thing to them that they were able to take Egyptian clothing.
Because of this whole legacy.
So that's how Sfas Emes would learn. Yeah, that's how Sfas Emes learns it.
Still bothered me.
All right. Enjoy. Have a great night.
Thank you. For those of you who do catch up online with this class, And if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.